Good morning. I too greet you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus, and I really appreciate the devotions we had. So many times, I don't know why God chooses the least of this world to do what he has to do. I also want to thank you as a congregation for your prayers. Last night as I was studying, I didn't know what was going to happen. It really seemed scattered, and I thank you for your prayers on that. So this morning for a message, I'm going to take a little bit of a break on preaching the series that I've been preaching regarding the Christian armor. And I was thinking about, I guess now it's our intended plans of revival this week. And I want to take this time to reflect a little bit in our lives and think about what revival means to us and what it means to me and what it can do for me as a person in my Christian walk. For a theme verse this morning, I want you to open your Bibles this morning with me to the 2 Peter chapter 3. Check 2 Peter chapter 3, the very last verse. We have the last two verses, beginning in verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And what I want to think about this morning is, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We are called as a Christian people to grow in grace and in knowledge. So I want to think about this morning growth. As I think about my own life, I think about the life of this congregation. The last revival meetings that we would have had was about 19 months ago. Because at Calvary we had revivals March of 2013. And a lot happens, 2023. Thank you, Austin. A lot happens between in 13 and 19 months. You know, we look back at that time of our lives. Maybe you know where you were. Maybe you can think about everything that happened in that amount of time. But where are you today in relation to where you were then? And did anything change in your life? Physically, maybe a lot of stuff changed. But I'm thinking about spiritually. Your mindsets, your habits, your attitudes. What happened? You know, we think about growth. Grow, the word grow means to increase gradually in size or amount, to become greater or larger, expand. And we see growing happens over a process of time. And you know, I'm always amazed you have a new baby and how fast they can change. But you know, you live with that baby every day. And suddenly one day you say, you know, I think maybe the baby's changing his looks. Or all of a sudden, actually, he's sitting now. And like, when did he start? And your wife goes, well, I think it was about a week ago he did it. It's like, oh, well, why didn't I know that? It's because I think about today, and then you take a mark in the history and say, so what changed? And you grow. And I remember my youngest son, when he started toddling around, he couldn't look out the windows. And now he can pull the blind back and he can look out the windows. And he grew. Something changed. But I didn't see that growth every day. You can't see that growth every day. So you have pictures. You have previous points you're at. And sometimes it feels like it happened really fast. You plant seeds in the garden, and all of a sudden you look out, and it's like, wow, yesterday I don't think it was out. And now after a rain, the seeds are up. You see down the row. It happens fast, but then it gets slow and progressive. Other times with growth, there's a decline, and there's sickness. And people start, or plants, or you start seeing this, maybe it's not going right. And how is that? We grow physically, because our physical growth is affected by what we feed on. With proper nutrition, we can grow, and we can get strong. Too much bad food or too little good food will cause obesity or not malnutrition, and both is harmful for our physical bodies. So you know, what we feed on will affect what we end up like. It will affect us. So as we think about our lives, and we look back and consider ourselves, we're preparing this week for a week of revival, which is hopefully the Lord blesses us with it. We'll see what happens. But we're going to have a preacher come here who does not know our congregation, and he is going to share his heart. And we need to take that to our own lives and apply it to ourselves and think about, so where am I in life? Because sometimes we get so wrapped up in sharing outside and bringing others with us and pushing and helping a lot of other people, and that's a good thing. But you know, if we don't have anything in our cup, if we ourselves are not growing in grace and in knowledge, we have nothing to share. We need to continue to put in and continue to allow ourselves to be revived. And the revival in the congregation can make us a stronger congregation when we think about each other. So take time to consider our lives. Did my knowledge and love of my Savior grow larger or smaller in the past year and a half? How do I feel about life? Am I spending more time today in the Word of God or less time in the Word of God? What about my addictions? Am I more addicted to myself? Or is there something that I actually broke free of in the last year that I'm able to be free today that I wasn't before? How about my brotherhood? Am I allowing my brothers to speak more into my life now or less into my life? And you don't always know, but there's probably a progress. You're growing. If you're living, you're doing something. And either you're growing towards God or you're growing away from God. Either you're growing more like Christ or less like Christ. You're not sitting still. How about in meekness and humility? Or did I grow in bitterness and pride? What am I doing? What's changing? Because something's changing. Did I grow in grace and acceptance of those around me in my life? Or am I pushing, am I becoming more of an Alan and more about me? And then what fruit is coming out of my life? You know, we can't always see the fruit on our own tree. And sometimes we need our brothers to help us out. I know for myself, I get too busy in life that I can't see myself or who I am. And I personally am excited this week that I hopefully to get encouraged and revived in my own heart, in my own soul, and seeing myself what needs to be changed, what I need to change, what I need to grow in. Because we are planted in a vineyard, and we're all here, and we all have fertile soil, or we're in fertile soil. But what's exactly happening in our lives? Are we finding victory, and what are we doing? And this is also a time, I think it's important that we look at our own congregation, those beside us on the bench, and think about where they are in life, and how can we help them? Galatians 6 verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. And 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if any provides not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So we have revival meetings. We don't push out those outside. That's not the point. But it's a time we can rally around each other and build each other up and lift each other to the throne of grace that we can grow there, that we can grow. So I want to look at several points this morning, thinking about growth and thinking about growing in grace and growing in knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So first off, growth, thinking about the command to grow, growth is a sign of life. All living things will grow. They will. And they will change. Even though, you know, even a tree in the natural world may go dormant in the wintertime and you won't see the leaves. When in springtime comes, if there's still life in the tree, it will push forth new fruit, new leaves. It will go bigger. It will grow taller. It will grow. Animals are the same way. And we as people, we grow. Something changes in our life. And open your Bible, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. I want to think about growth and how we are affected in the kingdom. Luke chapter 13. We have a parable, beginning reading in verse 6. And a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. And he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So there is a time in our lives, we can think about, I want to think about this tree in this vineyard. So the husbandman or the owner of the vineyard planted a tree in fertile ground. And this tree was special to him. I don't know what's special about the fig tree. I don't know if there's the only one there or not, but this tree was planted in the ground. There was a time the tree was growing, and then he expected to see fruit. So in our lives, in our Christian lives, we grow. And there's always time allowed for maturity to happen. Because you have new Christians, you have different people at different places in life, and there's always time is allowed. Before the man expected to see fruit, there was a time period because growth was taking place. And then 1 year, I don't know much about fig trees, but 1 year he decided that, you know, we should have fruit on this tree. So he went for the spring fruit and there was none. He went for the summer fruit and there was none. He went for the autumn fruit and there was none. And after 1 year, he didn't give up. He went back again. And he went back again. And he said, why isn't this tree bearing fruit? And he looked at it and he said, we're just going to get rid of it and we're going to start back over. But the husbandman that cared for the vineyard said, but give me more time. We're going to dig around the tree. We're going to fertilize it and give it another year and it can grow. And I think about how many times in our own lives we are the tree and we are the husbandman. So in our life, we may be in that 3 year period, and there's not time restraints on this. We may be in that 3 year period when there's not fruit, and we're just there. And maybe we're a pretty tree, and maybe we're really a sick tree, but we're just there. And we got to allow our brothers to come around us and dig us up a little bit and fertilize us because the master wants to see fruit on our tree. But if I'm standing in the vineyard and I refuse to let anybody work with me and I'm all by myself here because, well, there's not going to be growth. And then at the same time when we're working in the vineyard and we look around us and we see those who are hurting, we don't cut them down. We dig around them. And we pour in the fertilizer and we give them another year because they will bear fruit someday. So that's a two-way street. We're not Allens by ourselves. So since if we're going to grow, whenever our brothers dig around us and we help and we also help them on their side, we will grow. We will grow in grace. And I want to think about growing in grace. We're to grow. You can grow more like Jesus. You can grow less like Jesus. But the Bible tells us to grow in grace. And the word grace means simply what we normally think of. It means acceptable favor, kindness, divine influence of the heart, pleasurable. This word grace is the same Greek word that is used in Luke 2 verse 52. When it talked about Jesus, it said Jesus increased in wisdom and favor with God and man. It was the same. It's that word favor is the same Greek word as grace, grow in grace. So we think about the children's stories. I'll talk about how Jesus was a good boy when he was young growing up. He had grace. And literally, that's what we're supposed to grow in. We're supposed to grow in grace. And also in Luke 6, verse 32, it says, For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love them which love those that love them. So that word thank is also is the same Greek word as grace. So if you love them who love you, what grace has you? So when we are to grow in grace, that means we're going to love the unlovely. We're going to accept and work with those around us. And we're going to be enjoyable to be around. It's growing in grace. And if we're not growing in that way, are we growing the other way? And I question, is that Christian life? Growing in grace means we don't reach a plateau where we have attained. This is not a plateau someday that now I will be there. Because at that point, you pretty much lose your grace. And no one wants to be on that plateau with you. Each year, each day, we will continue to grow. And hopefully the bad parts and the stuff that's less desirable and the stuff that needs to be forbearance from other people, hopefully I can drop that and continue to grow and become more like Jesus. Also, when we grow in grace, there will be fruit in our lives that will be visible. People will enjoy it. People will know it. So I think about growing this grace. I think about growing in grace is the same as sanctification. You know, when we are born again as new Christians, we are sanctified before God. And we stand before God at that point. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. And we could die immediately and we would be saved. Praise the Lord. But in our life, as you take just like new children, just like a newborn baby, just like we expect to see things continue to change, we see the same thing with Christians. And as we grow into sanctification, we want to see development spiritually, and we want to see development emotionally, and they will be stabilized and not pushed about by every winds of doctrine. In 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 11 to 13, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So the Lord makes you to increase and abound. We don't have, when we become new Christians, we don't have endless love for everybody. Because we grow in that. And just like Will said about this morning in his devotions, that love covers the imperfections. And if we were perfect, we wouldn't need love. And I just love that analogy. I never really thought about that before, but that's so right. That we grow in love, and we let our love increase. Hebrews 6, verse 1 and 2, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism and a laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. So once we have the foundation laid, then we press on to perfection. Yes, when we become new Christians, we are perfect before God. But we grow in that, and we grow on to perfection. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 7, 6, verse 17. Let's actually turn to that one. It's 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So once we see what we were saved from, and we are called out, then we continue to perfect holiness. And we grow in our grace towards other people. If people stay at the infant stage, If people stay at the infant stage in their spiritual life, we can say that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Because when there is power in our life and we are alive in Jesus, we already went across this point many a time, if there's life, there's going to be growth. And just like there's cancer, when there's bad life, there's bad growth. So what you feed is what's going to show in your life, and it's going to be shown. And we continue to grow on. We continue to mature in Christ. In Ephesians 4, verses 13 to 16, it says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacteth by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." We see in verse 14 it says that we henceforth be no more children. So there's going to be a time when we are no longer children, and we're not going to be pushed back and forth by all the sleight of doctrine. We're going to be able to be steadfast and know why we believe what we believe. And I don't know if we ever get the fullness of that. But we are called to come away from being babes in Christ and drinking on the milk of the word to actually being able to be steadfast and rooted, grounded, pressing on to perfection in Christ. So growing in grace, we see here, it talks about growing also in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 1. If we're going to grow in our knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we're going to grow in grace, I like to think about Psalms 1. Psalms 1, verse 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." We see here, we read here, that a man who sitteth walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly delights in the law of the Lord. And if we are going to grow in knowledge, if we're going to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, we're going to need to delight in the law of the Lord. If we are delighting in the laws outside the Bible, if we're delighting in reading material and filling our minds continually with trash of this world, what are we delighting in? It's something we can grow in. I know for myself, it's sometimes I can get so wrapped up with everything else in life. But we need to be dedicated as men of God. If we're going to grow in knowledge, we're going to love the Bible and read it and seek to understand and grow thereby. It says we're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's not going to just die off because we're drinking pure water. We're going to be a strong, strong tree. Also in Ephesians 1, verse 15. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks unto you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he hath wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things, even the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. When we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, verse 17, it says, the Spirit will give us wisdom and revelation. And growing in knowledge, after growing in knowledge, it's only through knowledge of our Lord and Savior that we can actually have wisdom, that we can function in life. In verse 18, it says, our eyes will be enlightened, and we will find our calling in life. And we will say faithfully serve there, that we may know what is the hope of his calling. So Jesus has called each of us. He has planted us in a vineyard. And when we grow in our knowledge of God, then our eyes will be opened and we can understand that. And then we will see the greatness of his power in our lives. And unless we are willing to grow in our knowledge of Christ, we won't understand God's power in our lives. Everything will look backward. And then in verses 20 to 23, we see that once we understand how great and mighty God is, in which he wrought in Christ and raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand, far above all principality and powers, then we see how small we are and how immaterial I am. And God can do everything without me, but he chooses to use people, imperfect people, in imperfect situations to do his perfect work. And why, we don't know. But we only understand that if we grow in knowledge, if we grow in grace and knowledge of God. We grow in knowledge by taking time for reading, understanding, and meditating and praying. God can put the wisdom into our minds and understanding and knowledge only if we avail ourselves to what we have. I believe with my whole heart that there's people who have very limited understanding of Scripture have a very, very limited ability to get Scripture. Maybe they only have one book of the Bible or parts of the Bible. But God is able to use that knowledge in there and implant wisdom in their minds. And I think about here in America, we have so much. We have the whole Bible. We have endless commentaries and all kinds of study helps. How much more we are responsible for. Because once again, God will give us wisdom with the knowledge we apply, with the knowledge we are willing ourselves to get. And when we apply ourselves and we grow in knowledge and wisdom, James 1 verses 22 to 25 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. When we grow in grace and we grow in knowledge, we're going to open our Bibles and we're going to read it and we're going to understand. And we don't say, oh, great, that was excellent. And we turn around and do exactly what we were doing before. When we grow in knowledge, we let the seeds fall in and we let it do something inside us that changes us. It's not a change we can force upon ourselves. It's a change that comes from the inside out because the power of God, because of knowledge and wisdom in our own selves that we take in and God gives the increase. We will see things in our life when we grow in our knowledge, we will see things in our life that will need to be changed. My attitude towards other people. My understanding of God's will for my life. When I read the Bible, we can see this. And I can look at it and say, that's really good, and turn around and run and say, well, but my life, I don't understand. The devil wants that. He don't want us to grow in knowledge. He just wants us to take it and leave it. But when I open the Bible, I can see my own insufficiencies. And I see what I need to allow others to, work on in my life. I see my need for submission. And I see my own pride. Because we read the Bible and we grow in knowledge. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. I have various scriptures, and I feel like it's a little bit scattered this morning. But I'm thinking about these different aspects in the Bible that we can tie together. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to begin reading in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So we have grace and peace being multiplied through the knowledge. When we grow in knowledge, we grow in grace, and we grow in peace. Knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a continual list. We read across in that list, there is 8 things. And we start with faith, just a simple faith. And no man comes to the Father except he has faith. All Christians start with faith, just a simple, I believe, my lack. And we say, praise the Lord, to have faith. But you know, you take that faith and it says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue means manliness, valor, or praise. So when a person has faith and recognizes their need for God, they begin to get smaller and they begin to see themselves how God sees them. And they begin to have virtue. And the virtue follows the faith, and they begin to have something that they allow God work in their life, and they begin to grow. Just a small sprout, but the people change. They have virtue. And then it says, add to your virtue, you're supposed to add knowledge. So you have faith, which is the beginning step. You have virtue, which is a sprout. And now you need to start adding knowledge. So you need to apply yourself. You can't just stop at being, I believe, and then being this perfect little angel, whatever you want to say. But you need to grow in the knowledge. And you're going to take the Bible and you need to grow thereby. It says add knowledge. And we don't add knowledge unless we apply it and read it and get it from somewhere. So we add this knowledge. And we read other places in the Bible where it says much learning has made people mad. The very next thing it says after add to your knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. So we can have a head full of knowledge and no temperance. Brethren, we need to grow. Because once we have knowledge in our minds, then we start seeing in our lives what I need to trim back out. And I start realizing my need for temperance in my life. Maybe I was excessive and wanted, maybe I'm excessive. No, take the maybe out. I am excessive in more than one area of my life. That's only when I have knowledge after faith and virtue that I can start applying temperance and start grow and continue to grow. And then it says after temperance, we're going to add patience. So you think about this, I don't know, you look at teenagers and this is just what happens. They get a head full of knowledge and they get this thing put together and then why don't everyone do it? We need patience. And why don't God just take me and just put me where I need to be and we'll just get this taken care of yesterday? Once we have knowledge and temperance, add patience because we're going to need it. And after patience, we add godliness, which is piety and holiness. And in our waiting to grow, in our waiting, in our patience to grow closer to God, don't give up. Continue to grow more like God. We can at times become high-minded and think we have things figured out, but God wants us to continue to follow Him. Add godliness to your patience. And then the hard one. When you have that all done, that's all yourself. And then it says add brotherly kindness. Add brotherly kindness. Add kindness to your brothers, those you're close to. You know, I find it amazing. So many times strangers, you can walk past and you can be really jolly with them. But you know, it's the brothers. It's those we're beside. It's the family issues that actually can be the stickiest. We are to add to this list of godliness, we're to add brotherly kindness. We are dependent. We must show love and compassion to those around us. And then to tie this all together, you can have all these wonderful points, but it gets to the bottom and it says, and to brotherly kindness, charity. You know, if we live our lives without love, if we don't add love to our life and everything we do, we have nothing. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, charity suffereth long, it's kind. Charity envieth not itself. Envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. It's all together. It's done through love. It's charity. So, brethren, until we press on and we continue to grow, we add one layer to another layer. We don't get through this less than a day. Maybe we do. Maybe you do. I don't. We don't get through this less than a day. It takes a lifetime of living. And some days we may get sick in one point. But then we need to recognize that and continue to grow. In verses 8 to 11, it says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This simple list of things that we're supposed to grow and we add and we keep working on. And some things we really just don't want to deal with. It says if we're in these things and they abound, we're going to be fruitful. Galatians chapter 5. So it says we're going to be bearing fruit in our lives that people can see. You know, not many, most fruit always benefits somebody else. The fruit of a tree, the fruit of a plant does not benefit the plant itself as much. It's always something they bear and give to somebody else. And I think about it in our lives, and when we grow in grace and we grow in knowledge and we grow in our Christian life, that we're going to have the fruit of the Spirit available in our life that that someone else is going to benefit from. We can feel good about it, but someone else is going to be reap the benefit. So we have the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So when we have this fruit in our spirit, we have the list, we have the previous growth that we're going to, the progressive list from 2 Peter. You're going to have love. We're going to have love for the brotherhood around us. We're going to be able to face life with joy and cheerfulness. Turn with me to Habakkuk 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. We see when we have the fruit of the Spirit in our life, we will have a joy that is independent of circumstances around us. We will be able to rejoice in God and what he has done for us. It will bring a peace in our life that people can see a peace. And then there will be long suffering, forbearance, and patience. Long-suffering is only practiced whenever it's needed. You know, if everything works perfect, you don't need long-suffering. If everything's perfect, you can tell everybody you have long-suffering. But when things go backward and you get mad, then you know you don't have long-suffering. Maybe you don't know, but everyone else does. It's just the way it works. Luke 17, verses 3 to 4 says, take heed to yourselves, if your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. 7 times in a day. Hopefully none of us is thinking, at least he didn't say 8. But it goes on. It's long suffering. We continue one after another after another. We have long-suffering in our life. The gentleness, goodness, and meekness, I kind of put together because when I looked them up, them individual words, they actually all wrap around each other. So the definite, in the Strong's, gentleness means goodness and kindness, usefulness, moral excellence. And goodness is virtue and benevolence, just being good. And meekness is gentleness by humility. So they all kind of get wrapped together. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also to the things of others. When we have gentleness and goodness and meekness, we will serve in humility. And we will allow ourselves to be vulnerable to other people because it's not in ourselves. We're just bearing the fruit of the work of God in our lives. We will have faith. And we will be, faith is a persuasion of relying on Christ for salvation. We will have faith, and people will know that we can live in faith. And another fruit of the Spirit is also temperance. It's self-control. And it affects. And this is actually a fruit. This is something that people will see. And I think about how many times in my own life that I wonder, am I being as temperate as what I should be? Temperance affects all areas of life. And a lot of times I talk about everything else on the list, but do we recognize that temperance is one of the fruits, one of the fruit of the Spirit? It affects what we eat. It affects when we get up and when we go to bed. It affects when we go to work and when we stop working. It affects the amount of time we spend in my own world, the amount of time or money I put towards my hobbies. It affects what I drive. It affects how I dress. It affects where I go. It affects all areas because it's temperance. And temperance is self-control, recognizing that enough's enough and I'm okay. It's all-consuming. But to pinpoint another's lack of temperance and not recognize our own intemperance is very short-sighted. Because they're doing the same thing. But if we're going to grow in grace, and we're going to grow in our knowledge of Christ, we're going to be able to see that in our lives. And we're going to allow the brotherly kindness around us, the brotherly kindness, we're going to allow brothers to reach into my life and say, you know, Glendon, maybe this needs to change. Maybe you ought to think about this area of life. And praise God, people do that. Because I can't see my own fruit like you all see it. And that's why we have a brotherhood. We're not just a one-man band. So in closing, I'd like to look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I want to think about that everything we do, we can think about, we talked about growing in grace and in knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because to Him be glory, both now and forever. Everything we do, if everything we're doing, if we're growing in grace and growing in knowledge to make myself look better, it's all for naught. What we are who we are because of Christ, what Christ did in my life. I can only be who I am. I can only grow in grace and knowledge of Christ and affect and bear fruit from the Spirit if I recognize and give God the glory for that, not me. Chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is wrought through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, nor were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. According to the working thereby, he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we have a continual growth. We have a continual growing in this life because someday God will change our vow bodies. You know, we can have the knowledge, we can have the fruit, but Jesus still says it's a vow body. He's to change our vow bodies into a glorious body. Because I am what I am through Christ who strengthens me. Let's kneel for prayer.